So how is it possible that in the other world, in the heaven, which is the utopian land for the best people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we still got a chance to promote ourselves spiritually, we can say, by doing good deeds? We are talking about the howness of this action.
Exactly. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know that actually in heavens, as you mentioned, according to the verses of Noble Quran and the other narrations, we understand that you cannot improve.
Yes.
Because in the Day of Judgment is in a way, to some extent, you can receive the benefits of what you have done in this world. You know that? I ask my dear listeners to pay attention to these issues because we are talking about the world that we are living now, right now, and the Day of Judgment. Okay?
Yes.
We have immense verses of the Noble Quran talking about the Day of Judgment. You know that having this belief of the Day of Judgment, a day, Resurrection Day, Yawmul Ma'ad, actually is one part and parcel of Islamic belief, and it has a lot of benefits for the faithful people to understand that and try to get ready for the Day of Judgment.
Yes.
We have a lot of names for that. For example, Yawm al-Hasrat, the Day of Regrets, and many other names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that. And the reason, for example, in that day, you wish that you have done a lot other good deeds in order to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, about the Day of Judgment, for example, we have that this famous and most repeated narration, Al-Yawm Amalun Wala Hisab Waghadan Hisabun Wala Amal. Today, referring to this world that we are living right now, you should practice, you should get ready, whatever you can do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no reckoning. But in the Day of Judgment is a time for your reckoning.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And there is no غَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ.
Yes.
There is no improvement, no deeds, because time is over.
Yes.
But, you know,
I think this hadith is by Imam Ali alayhi salam, isn't it? Is this a hadith?
This narration is from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam.
Yes.
And it means that, as you mentioned, according to this narration and many other verses of Noble Quran, is referring to the, in this life that we are living is a time for, you know, whatever you can do, your preparation, your actions, but in the Day of Judgment, only you can receive your reckoning.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
And there is no any time for having any action or deeds.
Okay.
Of course, I can share many other verses of Noble Quran, but let me go to the second step of this episode.
Okay.
You know that, but how about the barzakh?
Mm-hmm.
We have a mediatory life between the after your death and before the resurrection day, which we call it mediatory.
It is a kind of middle world.
Middle world,
Between this world and the other world when you die. And according to so many philosophers, a kind of a new body. According to your deeds, isn't it? Badane Mesali, isn't
exactly.
it? According to what Mullah Sa'd says, in barzakh is shaped. So is that badan or body able, for example, to grow in that world or not by doing good deeds?
If I'm not mistaken, in Christianity they call it purgatory life.
Purgatory life, yes.
Or as you mentioned, for example, a middle life.
Yes.
You know that in that life, in that sphere of life, we can, according to the majority of scholars, for example, I quote Al-Shawahid al-Rububiyya by Mullah Sadra or Ta'liqat ala Sharh Fusus al-Hikam by Imam Khomeini. According to these scholars, you know that it is possible to have some kind of improvement in the day of the, in the life of the, in the middle life.
Yes.
And what does it mean, for example, to have some scientific improvement, actually, or to expand your knowledge?
Yes.
It is possible. Or, for example, to be cleansed from some kind of, any kind of evil trait that you may have or any kinds of, veil that you have, it is possible to be cleansed from that. So yes. Kinds of improvement in the middle life, it is possible. But of course, due to some other explanation to that, for example, as I mentioned, the scientific one or cleansing from the evil.
Yes.
And this kind of thing, it is possible to have. But talking about the Day of Judgment, actually, any kind of improvement, it is not possible.
That's right.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Still, so many people have questions about, we can say, the remainings or the effects remain on their soul because of their deeds in this world. And some people, have gray soul or gray characters, better to say, not absolutely evil, not absolutely good. Are they, for example, given a chance in purgatory world or the other world in order to improve their soul, especially those people who are more inclined toward goodness or not?
You know that actually the day of the in the middle life, mm-hmm. To some extent it is possible to have some kind of improvement. As I mentioned, for example, we have the Usul al-Ma'arif by Faith Kashani. He has mentioned is some kind of istikmalun nafs, okay?
Yes.
Which
yes.
means you can improve your soul in this middle life, but or for example, cleansing your, as I explained, yes. cleansing your soul from some kind of, evil action, it is possible for some human being. The point that I would like to mention here and what I would like to add, it is not possible for all human being to have this kind of improvement. Okay.
Yes.
Only for those people who had some kind of, nice action, who has some kind of preparation, and who gained this kind of introduction in this life,
yes.
they can improve it in the middle life. Mm-hmm. It is not possible for all human beings to have yes. these kind of improvements.
According to the famous sentence of Faizi Kashani,
yes.
one of the most outstanding philosophers and exegetes of Mullah Sadra, آخرت دار تکامل نمی باشد. In fact, the day of judgment or the other world is not the world to find evolution or spiritual. And this istikmal that you are talking about, we can say, does not happen because of your deeds, but it is because of the other effects that might remove some of the dark spots on your soul, in fact, in your fitra or your essence. But it's still, we can say that it is logical that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gave the people this life in this world and give them the chance in order to improve day by day. But unfortunately, most of the people are neglectful of this deed. I mean, this modern world and the physical world, which so many people believe is negative, is the best chance for the people to improve spiritually and get to the other world with clean sheet, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Very important point. For example, in this life that we are living, even by one moment, mm-hmm. You can gain a lot of reward in the day of judgment. I want to yes. say that whatever you do and whatever practice that you have in this life, in this material life, and actually you are gaining. In the same time, you are gaining some benefit and reward in the Day of Judgment. And you will witness that in the Day of Judgment. So we should see the opportunity of living in this life And we should do our best in order to get ready for the day of judgment and actually to have the prosperity of both this life and the day of judgment. We are not talking about, you know, quantitatively here.
Yes.
When we talk about righteous action, amal salih.
Yes.
Okay. It is not quantitatively.
Okay.
Actually, amal salih, one part of that is sincerity. Okay. Which means ikhlas.
Yes.
Maybe you do very few actions, but you have done that with the taqwa, mm-hmm. with the awareness of Allah, or you were God conscious person. It is much worthier than doing a lot of actions, but without taqwa, without conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or without sincerity. I want to say that, spiritually speaking, what matters here is taqwa, conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sincerity of your action. Okay?
That's right.
Actually, it is quality of your action is very important.
Okay.
Yeah. So, maybe that individual that you're talking about has a little action, but with sincerity,
okay?
They can have the benefit of that. They can witness the benefit of that in the day of judgment.
That's why there's so much emphasis on this world too. It might be interesting that when you refer to the ahadith of Prophet Muhammad and the other infallible imams, this world is like, for example, the farming ground.
Exactly,
for your deed,
yes.
You know, everything you reap, you sow in the other world, isn't it?
Exactly, yes.
World. That's right.
Exactly, that's
so
right.
So if you invest your income, your good income on this world, you will get the bonuses and the interest, spiritually speaking, in the other world. But everything is limited to this world.
You know, actually, this world is kind of preparation. Uh-huh. It's kind of introduction for the day of judgment.
Yes.
We are here, you know, having some exercise, actually,
yes.
in order to prepare ourselves for the real life uh-huh. in the day of judgment. Okay?
That's right.
According to the verse of Noble Quran, this life that we have in this, you know, this material life is la'ibun wa lah,
mm-hmm.
or lahwun wa la'ib. It's kind of playing, okay? It is not a real life. The real life is actually in the day of judgment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have it, you know, prepared for the righteous people. So if you want to get that to have and to understand the meaning of the real life, you should go to the, inshallah, when we go to the next life, we can witness the reality of the meaning of life and we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh, about the concept of spiritual growth and development in the other world. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Eruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Pureza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi,
Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
The 18th International Muslim Forum has summed up celebrations of the 1,100th anniversary of the adoption of Islam by the Volga, Bulgaria. Many religious figures addressed the International Forum. Russian Mufti Sheikh Ravil Gaynuddin called for a just world order from the standpoint of the East. Chairman of the Turkish Department of Religious Affairs, Ali Erbaş, spoke about the connection between justice and security. Chief Justice of Palestine, Mahmoud Al-Habash, accused Israel and the United States of violating international law. The main two words, justice and a new world order, became the leitmotif of the plenary session.
We have gathered here to raise the voice of justice and moderation, to exchange scientific opinions through dialogue. The Islamic State, the Muslims of Russia, all of us must stand together against the liberalism that they are trying to impose on us. This false world view is in fact engaged in the seizure of the world's material wealth and assets. Our joint cooperation should be directed against this upstart arrogance, despotism, and oppression of the liberal world. The Islamic principles of the world view are the values that the world could take as an example.
Back in 1881, the Russian Muslim thinker and educator Ismail B. Gasprinsky wrote that in the near future, quote, Russia will be destined to become one of the significant Muslim states, which will not in the least diminish its significance as a great Christian power. The participants of the forum are convinced that his dream is coming true today. Russian Muslims, hand in hand with their partners, are making a unique contribution to renewing the global discourse on justice. The rapprochement of the Islamic world with Russia and success in this matter is directly related to the openness of the Russian civilization to its Eastern heritage, including the spiritual tradition of Russian Muslims.
We are being imposed a globalist, neoliberal understanding of the modern world order. The imposition is very aggressive. They encroached on a family. Many have caved into these patterns of the new world order. The Islamic world, which reads the Quran and is charged with energy and the word of the Quran, is trying to resist and adjoin those centers that are able to challenge and protect humanity from destructive energy. Russia is the defender of the classical traditional order set forth in the sacred scriptures. Therefore, one must follow this path, not lose hope, not give up, because this is a Quranic instruction to unite and be a single organism, a single ummah.
The participants of the forum believe that the time has come to talk about a just world order not only from the standpoint of the West, but also from the East.
Russia is celebrating the 1,100th anniversary of the adoption of Islam by the people of Volga, Bulgaria, marking the importance of Islam in the country. This year is commemorated with the participation of representatives from dozens of Muslim countries during various events. The anniversary is also an opportunity for Russia to strengthen its ties with participating Muslim countries that have been isolated by the West. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
Kubashevsky District, Donetsk. A child is wounded by Ukrainian shelling. An ambulance took her to the hospital. But a second didn't arrive fast enough, so a local volunteer, Andrei, puts the child's mother in the back of his van and drives her there himself. Ukraine has a history of shelling civilians in Donetsk since 2014. Over recent days, they've increased the slaughter. More than a dozen have been killed in the last 4 days. Nowhere in the city is safe. 2 supermarkets were hit in the space of 2 days.
The city has been hit hard today, multiple strikes around the centre. The death toll is already up to 5. We're racing around the city to check out the damage.
We pass a market. It caught on fire due to a strike. Flowers are placed outside for a woman killed at the same spot a few weeks ago. We arrive at the site of another strike. There's a body on the ground and 2 more inside.
Now, while many of the attacks by Ukraine in Donetsk are aimed at civil infrastructure, administration buildings, some are simple terror attacks against civilians. The building here is a youth center. The woman who was killed is still lying just down there, covered in a blanket.
The woman was later identified as Maria Pirogova, a young deputy of the DPR authorities. Another killed was Vadim Lobozov, a singer in a music band.
Now, I've tried to talk to a couple of people at the scene here, but they didn't want to. They're simply too traumatized to speak. One man breaking down in tears by the side of the road. And frankly, my fixer, my translator, is very keen for us to get out of here because at any moment, these strikes can happen again. Right across the city, they've been happening today. And no doubt there'll be more anytime soon.
Andre, the volunteer who took the mother to the hospital in Kubayevsky.
They shell the center of Donetsk on purpose, to scare people, to create an unstable zone in the city, so that people will complain, to provoke. To me, they're not warriors who fight with other warriors. They fight civilians. So I think they do not deserve to be called military. They should be classified as war criminals by a military court.
While Russia launches major attacks on energy infrastructure, in a shockingly underreported story, Ukraine is launching attacks on civilians, whom it claims to be its own citizens. Few people are on the streets today, as more strikes are expected. Johnny Miller, Donetsk.
Doors at food banks across the UK are seeing more people come through now than ever before, as food and energy costs rise. Beans, noodles and fruit. Food packaged up for people in crisis, not in the developing world, but in northwest London.
It's one of the thousands of centres across the UK. All this food is sorted, packaged and distributed by the volunteers here to people who desperately need them. Without them, they go hungry.
Sarah, who asked her face not to be shown, told us she'd go days without food so her three children could eat.
I go days without eating as long as they get fed. I can go days without it. I can do it, but it's them I'm concerned. It's worrying for me for them to go without food. But I can go without food for a couple of days or so, just eat, drink milk, hot chocolate, yogurts and stuff, so they can have a full meal. Like, everything I have, it's all for them. So, you know, it is difficult.
Independent charity provides aid to 800 food bank users. And with the UK's economic downturn making the poor even poorer, they're warning more people will be knocking on their doors.
According to the government's new budget, benefits will be increasing in line with inflation, but that's not until April. So that means our guests will continue to struggle throughout the winter for the next few months, throughout the rain and snow and cold weather.
Food banks are now at breaking point due to a tsunami of need driven by the cost of living crisis.
Regular donors are unable to donate what they used to. Funders have less money to give to support because of all of that was spent during the pandemic. So while our demand is still the same, the support that we need to provide it is running out.
Charities estimate more than 2 million people in Britain now depend on food aid. For now, help is around, with those in need hoping the country's economic outlook improves. The question is how long that will take. Sai Puriza, London.
A conference has been held in the Gaza Strip to support Al-Quds and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It is dubbed Judaization of Al-Quds and Ways to Confront It. Experts, academics, and senior Palestinian officials have attended the conference. They have discussed ways to tackle the growing Israeli violence against Al-Quds and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. This, as Israeli officials have been trying to Judaize the holy Muslim city of Al-Quds in the past by demolishing Palestinian homes and building illegal Jewish settlements.
We are holding this conference to support Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque and to reaffirm the Islamic identity of Al-Quds. Holding this event this year is of great significance amid the escalation of Zionist aggressions against Al-Quds and the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Palestinians consider Al-Quds as the capital of their future state. The Hamas movement asserted the Islamic and Arab identity of Al-Quds and refuted all Israeli claims to the holy city.
Quds was never a state or a capital of a state for the Jews. All the history indicated that it was part of Palestine, and Palestine was and still is a part of the Arabic countries, which is a part of the Islamic world.
Occupied by Israeli regime forces 55 years ago, Al-Quds has been at the core of the Palestinian struggle for freedom. Those who attended the conference slammed the normalization of ties between some Arab countries and the Israeli regime. In its final communique, the conference stressed the importance of protecting Al-Quds and the Al-Aqsa Mosque against all Israeli plots.
Observers say the international community has failed to help Palestinians in Al-Quds and has been turning a blind eye to violations committed by the Israeli regime against them for decades. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
It's just another attempt to mute the voice of the voiceless. Pros-TV managers were not surprised by Eurosat's decision to stop broadcasting the news outlet, as they say this is not the first time Pros-TV is being banned in the West.
Well, this gesture by the West is not anything new in terms of Pros-TV and even some of its, sister channels. So it puts under the microscope the real intention behind this. So the way this appears to be is that it's part of a bigger picture of this maximum pressure campaign that's been exerted on Iran. I am sure there's some geopolitical interest involved in terms of trying to limit Iran's reach when it comes to the media. But in particular, obviously, another reason for this act by the West, which is really against the pillars that they actually advocate, which is freedom of speech.
Eurosat is a French satellite operator providing coverage over the entire European continent, the Middle East, Africa, Asia, and the Americas. It is the world's third largest satellite operator in terms of revenues. In mid-November, the European Union imposed sanctions on Pros-TV over claims that the news network airs forced confessions of detainees in connection with the recent unrest in Iran.
I've been working here at Pros-TV for almost a decade now, and I can tell you that Pros-TV has not aired any confessions whatsoever, forced or unforced. So that shows you how such decisions by the EU and the like are based on unfounded claims with no basis in reality. And these sanctions on Pros-TV I see as part of the media war and their narrative control. They want to present the war with their distorted version of what's going on in Iran these days, and seemingly they don't feel much comfortable with Pros-TV challenging their narrative. So they would try everything to silence us or make us less heard, but we're not going to be silenced.
In 2013, Pros-TV was brought off the air in the UK after media regulator Ofcom revoked its license over alleged breaching of its rules. In the same year, it was taken off the air in North America after the U.S. Treasury Department placed sanctions against the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. Pros-TV was also dropped from the Galaxy 19 satellite platform that allowed it to be broadcast in the United States and Canada. Pros-TV has also repeatedly fallen victim to censorship on multiple social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
It's not the first time, and perhaps not the last time, that the West has attempted to pull the plug on Pros-TV. However, the news network says it will continue its professional journalism based on its motto of being a voice for the voiceless. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
A month after going to the polls, the results of the United States midterms are finally known. The Democratic Party has narrowly won a runoff vote in the state of Georgia, meaning they will retain control of the upper house of Congress, but with a mere 51-49 edge over Republicans.
They've come up with things that are going to help a larger block of people. Conversely, the Republicans are just pushing back and creating exclusionary not even policy, but just exclusionary commentary. So Republicans are going to make all these crazy claims. And I'm not being partisan. I'm just saying that's what they said they're going to do.
However, over the past 2 years, a small faction of right-leaning Democrats was enough to consistently torpedo the legislation of President Joe Biden. Celebrations are further tempered by the fact that Republicans won control of the lower House of Representatives, meaning Congress is now divided.
A divided Congress means that the United States is facing 2 years of political gridlock, with each party voting down the other's legislation, and then capped by an extremely tense presidential election in 2024.
Just like in the years 2000, 2004, 2016, and 2020, there have been widespread complaints about the integrity of the nation's elections. Much of the Democrats' loss can be traced to disillusionment and disinterest from African American and youth voters, whose turnout dropped to an estimated 35% and 27%, respectively.
I would say I'm not hearing too much about it. I'm 19, so I might be part of it. My friends probably aren't just talking about it very much. I think they're probably just too distracted, and they maybe think it doesn't affect them enough for it to matter to them. However, it certainly should, because it can affect them maybe later in life.
Many are now lamenting that the Democrats didn't do enough to win over the average voter during the 2 years they controlled both the White House and Congress, as they remained focused on the era of ex-President Donald Trump instead. Now that they have the subpoena power, Republicans are looking for payback, meaning an even worse era of partisanship will likely be inaugurated on January 3rd. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
A Church of England disciplinary tribunal for Reverend Stephen Sizer, one of the leading figures in the debunking of Christian Zionism. The purpose of the tribunal, to hear 11 anti-Semitism accusations against him. His main accuser, the Board of Deputies of British Jews. The accusations against him, sharing a platform with Holocaust deniers while attending peace conferences in the Middle East, and sharing on social media articles containing anti-Semitic conspiracy theories from other websites. The 68-year-old priest declined to comment after the hearing, but people close to him say he's been crucified for criticizing Israel.
Those Jews like me and many others who worked with Dr. Sizer for many years know for sure that he's the last person on this earth you could call an anti-Semite or racist. He is the kindest, very careful person, and he's anything but the opposite of anti-Semite. He is against what Israel is doing, so am I, and so are many Jews in this country and across the world.
The problem arises from the controversial International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism, which conflates criticism of Israel with hatred of Jews.
Now is the time the Church of England really needs to stop on the IHRA. It can't come out and say they have reservations with the IHRA and then still use the same definition. This makes no sense in any shape or form and needs to be addressed seriously. It's basically like saying, We agree that this is wrong, but we're still going to go ahead with it because don't really care whether it offends Muslims or whether it upsets Muslims.
Today's hearing cleared the Reverend of 7 of the 11 allegations against him.
A final hearing is scheduled for next month. People close to Stephen Sizer say that this whole thing was a witch hunt that has taken its toll on the Reverend, on his family, and the people who support him and the Palestinian cause. Saeed Poor is up in London.
EU leaders are furious with Hungary for blocking an 18 billion euro financial aid package for Ukraine, the first tranche of which is due to be released to Kiev next month. Finance ministers from the 27-nation bloc came together on Tuesday to try and resolve the impasse, but the meeting ended in failure.
Ukraine is a country at war. It desperately needs our support, and we just cannot allow one member state delay and derail this EU financial support.
This debacle follows a European Commission proposal last week to freeze 7.5 billion euro in funding to Hungary from the EU budget amid claims that Budapest is not meeting the bloc's rule of law standards. Aside from Ukraine, EU finance ministers have major problems closer to home. The energy crisis in the EU, resulting from sanctions against Russia, is getting worse by the day. The European Commission warns of economic disaster if EU nations continue to subsidise high energy costs in an ad hoc emergency fashion.
That is why we encourage member states to improve the targeting of this measure, and we have recommended replacing broad-based priced measure with a cost-efficient two-tier energy pricing system.
Out of control energy prices are making the cost of living crisis in the EU unbearable for households and businesses. Eurozone inflation is at 10%. The European Central Bank is aggressively increasing interest rates to try and tackle the problem. Economists warn forcing inflation down too quickly can also be dangerous.
Of course, if you have a persistent drop in prices, people might think, well, I'm not going to buy now. I'm not going to spend now because prices will come down. So I'm going to stay with my money in the pockets and wait for later. And of course, you don't have economic activity.
Croatia will become the 20th member of the Eurozone next month. EU finance ministers say Zagreb will be able to enjoy all the benefits. However, the euro has a troubled history, and so it's clear Croatia will also be exposed to potential risks during these incredibly uncertain economic times. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
China completes first seaborne hot launch with carrier rocket sending 14 satellites to orbit. The Space Dragon 3, also known as the Jilong 3, a commercial carrier rocket, was successfully launched with 14 satellites on board. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of Global Times wrote in this regard, China's commercial carrier rockets have welcomed a new member to the family after the Smart Dragon 3 or Jilong 3 made its successful maiden flight recently from the waters of the Yellow Sea, sending 14 satellites precisely into their designated orbit. Its debut further expanded the spectrum of China's launch vehicles and marked the country's first hot seaborne launch, filling multiple technical gaps in China's domestic aerospace industry. The vehicle, developed and manufactured by the state-owned China Academy of Launch Vehicle Technology, CALT, is a four-stage solid propellant carrier rocket with a total length of about 31 meters and a diameter of up to 2.65 meters. It weighs about 140 tons. Smart Dragon 3 is capable of sending a 1.5-ton payload to the 500-kilometer sun. Synchronous orbit has a larger nose cone with a diameter of 3.35 meters that provides more space for payloads and diversified launch modes and is more cost-efficient, the Global Times recently wrote. Based in China, Dongfang Space Aircraft Launch Port in Heyang is China's Shandong province. Developers integrated the manufacture, assembly, and launch of the Smart Dragon 3, significantly shortening the launch process and improving efficiency. CALT added that it is a highly reliable launch vehicle fitted with facilities that support both land and sea-based launches to meet future demand for rapid satellite constellations and is capable of completing technical preparations and satellite launch within just 1 week. The rollout of the vehicle will reduce payload cost to $10,000 per kilogram, said Jiang Ji, a CALT rocket expert and academician of the Chinese Academy of Sciences, highlighting the model's strong market competitiveness. Seaborne launches in China have historically been cold launches, which use a booster powered by compressed air, steam, or gas to launch the vehicle to a certain altitude before starting the rocket engine, experts said. This time, Smart Dragon 3 propelled itself out of the launching cell using its own engine, which eliminates the need for a separate system to eject the vehicle from launching the tube. Cold launches will have little impact on the ship's hull, as vehicles are ignited in the air. However, this mode is more complicated, and the launching tube is customized for only one type of rocket. Hull launches, however, have simpler launching cells and are capable of rapid launches, so they can realize multiple launches in one trip. Wang Yan, chief editor of Beijing-based Aerospace Knowledge magazine, told the Global Times. While the extreme heat during hot launches will cause some damage to equipment on board the ship, China has developed the ability to minimize this impact, for example, through temperature-resistant treatment for the ship or by diverting the gas produced during the rocket ignition to the side and then emitting it outside, Wang explained. Moving forward, CALT is planning to send an even larger solid propellant carrier rocket. The Smart Dragon 4, with a payload capacity of 2.5 tons to the Sun synchronous orbit. Seaborne launches will be further upgraded, as more professional vessels for rocket launches are being constructed at China Dongfang Spacecraft Launch Port with the aim of realizing multiple launches in a single trip. Researchers are also studying the feasibility of building a fixed launching platform on the sea, further lowering the requirements for sea-based launches and increasing cost efficiency and flexibility. Among the 14 satellites sent into orbit during the recent mission was Torch 1, China's first space life science experimental satellite for commercial spaceflight. It was developed by private firm Rocket P and will carry out observations on microbial growth in microgravity conditions in the food industry. The Global Times learned from the company. Also, Yahoo News wrote in this regard, China has successfully completed its first seaborne hot launch of a carrier rocket from the Yellow Sea on December 9th. The Space Dragon 3, also known as the Jilong 3, a commercial carrier rocket, was successfully launched with 14 satellites on board at 2:35 p.m. local time on Friday, December 9th. The China Aerospace Science and Technology Corporation has said, China has previously completed cold launches at sea, where a missile is expelled from a launch tube using gas produced externally. The launch of a Space Dragon 3 marks the country's first hot launch at sea, where the rocket launches itself using onboard fuel, local media reported.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim. Islamite. Islamite. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
This
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Youth Station. You're listening to IRB English Radio. I am Asma, and here with me I have my very dear friend.
I am Bita Chersevius in Youth Station.
Yeah, very happy to meet you here, Bita, again.
Me too. Thank you.
Such a pleasure to be here with you and with the audience, of course.
It's an honor.
So, how are you?
Thank you very much. How are you doing these
days? How's life?
Like always. Nothing different.
Same old stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
not
life.
Beautiful. Same old stories. I didn't want to use the word ugly.
Yeah, okay. Let's skip ugly and go for tragic life.
Yeah.
And
depression.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why depression?
Because technology. So cliche. But let's talk about the technological revolution and its effects on people behavior. And social life. As you know, technology was made for having a better social life, for finding new friends.
But is it really a better life now?
No, it's not. What are the reasons?
There are plenty much of reasons.
Give me some.
Usually when, I would say this way, usually when human beings go for something, they go to such an extreme that they destroy it.
Because we are human beings, you know. We want to reach the point of perfection in everything.
No, we're greedy.
Yeah, the greed inside our souls.
Yeah, we have this insatiable soul that would not get satisfied with everything until it is finished.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when it is finished, we get to the point of depression.
But I think before it get finished, we reach the point of depression, you know, especially in technology domain. The thing I want to tell you is that, unfortunately, because when you go through social media, you see some special standards that you don't have in your life. I don't know, your car, for example, is so simple. I don't know, house is so little.
This ostensible show of perfect life you see on social media.
You're not like that. And, you know, this is natural. Nobody wants to show their bad image of themselves
and
their lives on social media. Mm-hmm. So the thing you will say is the happy, beautiful, blossomed life. Mm-hmm. And you know this is not all. You know this fact. But at that time, your brain wants you to just believe like, okay, it's all.
And now, why am I not like that? Let me tell you one thing, which is even sadder. Let me tell you.
I'm all here.
Let me be the auger of doom and tell you that this is not going to stop in here. Then in a session, we talked about metaverse and you know what it's all about.
Yeah.
As technology is growing and growing and growing, it is going to come to a point at which we're going to have some bubbles and live in those bubbles. Yeah. And then in that bubble, I would choose the kind of people I'm going to let in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean that I'm going to go into a shell. The gist of the story is going to be like this. I'm going to shelter myself in a special shell and then I would be so isolated.
This is a high level of, you know, exactly isolation.
This is modern life, you know what I mean? This is modernity and what modernity brought us to.
And even you cannot feel that you are in that kind of isolation situation.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and this is, I think, the thing that matters. You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't feel.
Right now, we're facing these fake images of human beings all around in these social media.
Yeah.
But then as we go further, we're going to see much more painful things in the future.
But this is all about money, I think.
Yeah.
You have
I do
to
believe.
Make a need in a group of society to achieve that money.
Yeah,
this is the rule. This is this, I don't know, vicious circle, if I can call it, of achieving money in every domain. You have to make a need. Then from that need, make a product and persuade other people to buy that product.
And the thing which is very much tragic is the fact that that need that media or the propagandas are making is a non-necessary one.
Exactly.
I can live without it. But then they create that need in me, and then I'm so naive to believe that. I believe it, and then I feel depressed because I cannot achieve that point of perfection.
But you told something which I disagree, being naive. We're not naive. You know, there is a lot of knowledge and information, even in that technology.
Yeah.
The thing is, because the majority of people are acting in that way, you have to believe it, even if you know that it's not true. This is a kind of subconscious, like, I don't know, obligation on you, pressure.
Yeah, that's true. But again, I would call it naive. You know why?
Why?
I will tell you the reason after the break.
I
so let's go for a short break and I'll be back. Thank you for staying with us.
is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, my dear friends of Youth Station. Well, we are talking about what media and technology has brought to us and how much we're suffering from it. Yeah. And then I said that media and these technology that are around us are taking us through a process in which we're going to think that there is a need, which is a sort of unnecessary need that I can leave without it. And then we, as the audience, so naively believe that and go after it. And then since I cannot achieve it, I would get into depression.
You wanted to tell me an explanation of being naive.
Being naive, yes. See, Vita, no matter how much you study, no matter how much you have gone through education, but you have to believe that you're not going to be fully aware of everything. We're not omniscient, you know? We're not all omniscient. Yeah. We are telling our own stories, but we do not know everything. You know what I mean? I say naively because there are so much of people, of scholars even, I could say, that I see around myself, but they did not act according to the thing that I call them a scholar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because every single person has been attached to this fake world of technology.
I do. You know what
I mean? I don't want to say that technology is a bad thing or that there is no need out of it. No, I'm not saying this. Technology is good if we use it in a proper way, if we go in the right track of using it. But the problem comes when we do not know how to use it and when we go for the wrong part of the story.
You know, we were talking about the standardized things in, social media and so on that we're facing. Like a lot of people, of course, the majority of people are just following them. So when we feel the pressure to follow them too. But let me give you a study that a research that was done. You know, this research found and mixed results, you know. These results were like people who had more positive interactions and social support and these platforms like social medias and so on appeared to have lower levels of depression and anxiety. And the reverse was also true. People who perceived that they had more negative social interactions online and who were more prone to social comparison experienced higher levels of depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it shows us that it doesn't matter that this is social media. There are plenty of people who are acting in a special way. The thing that matters is the one who you are choosing to interact with.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
So it's all, again, we come to the point that is your decision.
Exactly, it is. And you told me something like a kind of modernized isolation. I want to tell you that from another perspective, this kind of isolation, which is really professional and high level, is good because you are the one who is choosing.
Modern life has got its own rule. I know all these things, but I would tell you that this is not healthy. You know?
Why it's not?
I remember that even in our, we studied geology at high school. And then we had some courses studying about special things. Now, I don't remember the exact thing, but the gist of it was that everything has got a certain way of existence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For example, the black thing is black. The white thing is white. You cannot change it. When you mix them together, you create gray. But still, the black is black, but the white and the white is white.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. A healthy human being has to live with other beings because we are sociable beings.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. When we are going to be secluded, isolated beings, then we are destroying the true path of existence.
I got it. That was really beautiful. You're telling me that we are making it out of natural. I mean, we have to learn that there are good people, there are bad people, and we have to interact with both.
Yeah,
groups.
Yeah.
But we are changing this role model and this pattern.
Yeah, I'm saying that we're imposing some changes into the true way of living. The true forms of living. I have to have friends. I have to live with other people, even if they are bad, even if they are good. I have to have both of them because I am going to learn things from both of them.
Yeah.
And that's the truth about life. And, you know, Perhaps you have seen some celebrities or some, I don't know, I say celebrity because these people are the ones whose life is just an open box to everyone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like role models.
Yeah, we know more about them. Yeah. If you go through them and see the ones that are isolated, go through depression and maybe they end their life with
suicide.
Yeah.
They commit suicide.
So, I'm not saying that seclusion is all the time going to lead to suicide, but I'm saying that we are changing the ways of life, which is not necessary, you know?
I understand.
Which is not going to make our life more beautiful. It's going to actually make it uglier.
You're telling me that it's something like an unnecessary luxury thing.
Exactly,
that
yeah.
we are adding to our story of lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we are committing mistakes.
So when we say technology, the first thing that comes into our mind is media. But actually, yeah. technology has made so much of goodness into our life.
Exactly.
Now, as a woman who lives at home, we have different facilities. We do not have to go through too much of drudgery. You know, the life has been easier right now.
And even, I think this kind of may lead to the depression because you have less to do.
Yeah.
You have more time to think.
Exactly.
And thinking about nonsense.
I was going to say that.
Exactly.
Yes, I was going to say
make
that.
Make you depressed.
Life has become easier. But
yeah.
are we really satisfied?
Exactly.
No. Sometimes I think if I lived in an isolated village, life would have felt differently.
Yeah.
I would have never went to think about, gibberish things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have never been so pedantic about the things that I look at, I think about, I scrutinize. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Myself, I love the modern cities and mega cities and so on.
No.
And I even cannot imagine living in a village, but, you know, I hate it. But you know, I think...
basic of humanity, you know? I'm talking
yeah.
about the true human being, untouched.
We are connected to nature, I think.
Yeah.
Our souls are connected
yeah.
to that. To strengthen this connection, I actually see a lot of people in the society that just tell me that, okay, we wish to live in a village far from these cities.
Hustles, bustles,
yeah,
and
exactly.
all the noisy stuff.
And this is really beautiful or even sometimes dark that this is their dream.
Yeah.
These
yeah,
days.
It has been a dream.
Yeah.
Let's go for a break and then we'll be back to wrap it up. We're talking about technology. We said that technology has brought too much of facilities, too much of easiness to our life, but still we're not satisfied
yeah.
because we have more time to think more. And as you think more, then you become isolated and
yeah.
perhaps sometimes depressed.
You are the one who have to control these kind of technologies.
Perfect.
Technologies
Perfect
shouldn't control
it, yeah.
you.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's the point. It shouldn't control me. It is a tool, a mean for me to
yeah.
Make use of. And it shouldn't
to
be
have
the
a better
monster
life.
That is controlling me and that is changing my life and that is forcing me into the ways that is
exactly.
not similar to me.
You know, there is a bit of a sentence I want to tell you. And it is that when you're going to go through something, go through it with 100% of you.
Now that is very beautiful.
Yeah. And for example, when you go to nature for breathing, go and 100% of you should be that
yeah.
breathing.
Take all of your
taste of nature,
yourself.
You know?
And actually devote a special time for your own soul because that is the thing that matters more
yeah.
and more. Don't go for the materialistic and physical life because at the end of the day, it is the metaphysical life that is going to count. The light of your soul is going to count more and more. So this was all the time that we had for today's episode. Thank you, Bita, and thank you all
You're
the listeners.
Welcome.
Until another session, I bid you farewell. May Allah protect you and shower you with His blessings. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.